no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. We'll begin this week with The Avenger, his episode from November 9th, 1945, Murder Hits the Jackpot. After that, it's Cattle Drive from Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, his story from June 1st, 1958.
The Avenger.
The road to crime ends in a trap that justice sets. Crime does not pay.
Avenger, sworn enemy of evil, is actually Jim Brannan, a famous biochemist. Through his numerous scientific experiments, Brannan has perfected several inventions to aid him in his crusade against crime as the Avenger. Most remarkable of these inventions is the highly secret diffusion capsule, which cloaks him in the black light of invisibility. Brannan's assistant, the beautiful Fern Collier, is the only one who shares his secrets and knows that he is the man the underworld fears as the Avenger. And now, The Avenger and Murder Hits the Jackpot.
$0.05 for the next 5 minutes, please.
Operator, please don't cut me off.
$0.05 for the next 5 minutes, please.
But I'm still waiting for my party. He was busy on another wire.
$0.05.
Operator, I can't leave this booth to get any change. Two men are trailing me. This is a matter of life and death. Operator! Don't you think I'm a crank? So I'll just have to take a chance and get some change.
All right, gentlemen. Outside. March her and let you have it in the back right now.
Hank, I...
The big guy's waiting outside in his car. Go ahead.
Hank, what is this?
Shut up. Get in the car, Judson. In the back.
Hello, Judson.
Griff, tell this gorilla of yours.
You sit here in the back with us, Hank. Sammy will drive.
Okay.
Step on it, Sammy. Cut across that back road to Keystone Meadows. Now, what were you saying, Judson?
So you're taking me to Keystone Meadows?
Yeah, that's a nice deserted spot. I gotta keep you away from telephones, Judson.
I didn't talk to anybody, Griff. Honestly, I didn't. That Secret Service man was busy on another line.
I know you didn't get to him, Judson. Hank would have blasted you right through the door if you had. But you can't blame us if we don't take any more chances with you.
Well, I'm not going to beg for mercy, Griff.
No.
I won't give you the satisfaction.
You admit you were all set to double cross us.
Yes. The only way out that I could see. This latest racket of yours forced my hand. I hadn't bargained for that.
Now, who tipped you off, Judson?
Nobody. I stumbled onto your setup in the factory today.
Oh, that's too bad. It doesn't give me any choice. It's you or me. Here's the place, Sammy. Turn in here. Stop over there near that clump of trees. Well, Judson, this is the end of the line for you.
Okay, get out, Judson.
Might as well go through his clothes, Hank. If we can make this look like robbery, so much the better.
Right.
Turn out the headlights, Sammy. I'll keep my flash on them.
He's well healed, all right. This wallet...
Hurry it up, Hank. We haven't got all night.
Okay. He's clean.
Well, what are you waiting for, then? Give it to him. Yes, Inspector, that's Max Judson, the real estate man, all right.
Did you know him, Jim?
Oh, you might say we had a nodding acquaintance. He used to play tennis at my club. Well, what makes you think this was a gang killing, Inspector? As far as I know, Judson was always on the level.
Well, people who live right don't often come to such a bad end, Jim. 4 bullets in the chest out in Keystone Meadows.
Yes, but he was robbed, too. Don't forget that.
There's no doubt about it, Jim. This was a gang murder. Now, here, take a look at this. We found it in his left hand.
Nickel?
Yeah.
Well, according to the best tradition of the underworld, a nickel symbolizes the fate of a double-crosser.
That's it, Jim.
You mind if I keep this nickel, Inspector?
I suppose you want it for your coin collection?
Well, that's right. It's a Buffalo, 1922. I haven't got any of those.
Okay, take it. I don't suppose Judson's heir will sue you.
Thanks, Inspector.
Well, where do you think we should start on this, Jim?
Oh, a lot of routine checking will have to be done first. Why don't you go to work on that?
What about you?
I've got a hunch that may lead us to the motive for Judson's murder.
Suppose you let me in on it.
I'll need a little time to work on it. Come around to my lab at 4 o'clock this afternoon, Inspector. Maybe I'll have something more definite by then.
Here's 200 more nickels, Jim.
Oh, good. Put them down on the table here, Fern. You didn't get them mixed up, did you?
No. And this pocket full is from the grocer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from the news dealer. And, these are from the druggist.
Good.
And all these rolled ones from the bank.
That brings our total up to 500. Now we can go to work.
Jim, I wish you'd tell me what we're going to do with all these nickels.
We're going to give each one of them a chemical test, Fern.
A chemical test?
Yes. I think we'll find that a percentage of these nickels are counterfeit. Hello, Inspector. You're right on time.
Well, I hope you've had better luck than I have, Jim. I haven't been able to get anywhere on Judson's death.
Jim thinks he's found the motive for it, Inspector.
He has. What is it, Jim?
Counterfeit money. I think Judson's murder can be tied up with a racket that specializes in counterfeit nickels.
Counterfeit nickels? Why, that couldn't be much of a racket, Jim. Wouldn't be worth it.
To the contrary, Inspector. It would be a very smart racket and a very profitable one.
How do you figure that?
Well, according to a little preliminary test we made this afternoon, about 1/10 of the nickels in circulation, in this neighborhood at least, are counterfeit.
Well, if that's so, why haven't the banks discovered it?
Because these fake nickels are so well turned out, it's impossible to tell them from the real ones. Oh, here, Inspector. Take a look at these 2 nickels. Now, one is counterfeit, and one is good. Can you detect any difference?
They look exactly the same to me.
They not only look the same, but they weigh the same. 77.16 grains.
Then how can you be sure they're fakes?
I've given them a chemical test. A nickel struck at a government mint contains 75% copper and 25% nickel. These counterfeits contain lead for weight, zinc for color, and powdered glass to give them a ring. Well, that's the reason they've been able to fool everybody.
But where's the profit in it, Jim?
About 4.5 cents on each nickel. These fakes could be stamped out at a cost of about 0.5 cents.
They were put out in large enough quantities that would add up to a sizable racket.
I should say so, when you realize there are $295 million worth of nickels in circulation. For instance, if a counterfeiter could supply just 1% of them, just 1% for even a short period, he would stand to clean up several million dollars. Of course, I think this racket is still localized. But unless we nip it in the bud, it won't take too long for it to expand.
Well, any idea who might be behind it?
Yes. That is, I think I know who made these coins. I want you to check on it for me.
With pleasure. Who is it?
An old fellow by the name of Pop Walters. He's a chronic counterfeiter, the kind that just can't leave the business alone. And he's by far the best artist in the line.
But the last I heard of Pop, he was safely tucked away in a federal penitentiary.
Well, if Walters made these nickels, Jim, we'll find him. Give me a couple of hours on this.
Inspector White.
Oh, yes, Inspector.
I got a line on Pop Walters, Jim.
Good.
It isn't so good. He was released from the federal pen 8 months ago. They figured he was too old and feeble to do any more harm, so they sent him to a rest home.
Oh? Well, where?
Upstate. But he disappeared from the home 3 weeks after he arrived. I guess that means he's back in operation, all right.
Yes. And this time, I don't think he's working alone. He's probably hitched up with some local gang that has the proper setup to unload the nickels. Anyway, Pop Walters wasn't a killer.
Well, I'll put some of my best men on the job right away, Jim. I'll be able to locate him.
Okay. I'll go to work on the other angle.
What other angle?
The gang that's unloading the nickels.
Oh, all right. Well, keep in touch with me, Jim. So long.
So long, Inspector.
Anything, Griff?
Nope. And the suckers won't take much away from this new slot machine, Hank.
How much does it pay off?
Only about 20%. Just enough to keep them coming.
I think you're going to run into some trouble installing them new machines, Griff.
What are you giving me? Our customers will take them and like them.
Nope. We're in for some headaches, Griff.
Yeah?
Now that Judson's gone, some of the customers that occupy store space he owned are stepping out of line.
No? How?
Three of them had out-of-order signs on their slot machines today.
Well, what did you do about it?
I tore down the signs and told them to lay off, but it didn't scare them none. Judson's dead, and they figure they can't be dispossessed now. Two of them had the nerve to tell me to get the machines out of the place.
Well, we better go to work on this right away. Those guys are dealing with Griff Catlin now, and I guess it's about time I let them know who's boss. Tell Sammy to get the car out, Hank.
Right.
I got a little job for you two boys.
Okay, Sammy. It's that store on the corner. Get close to the sidewalk and slow down. Right here. Here's a present for you, Mr. Ballard. Okay, step on it. That'll teach him. Next stop is the 10th and Maple, Sammy. We got another package to deliver.
Well, there isn't much left of this store, Inspector. Were there any customers inside when the bomb was thrown?
No. Ballard, the proprietor, was the only casualty, Jim.
Looks like we're right in the middle of an old-time gang war.
Yeah, we haven't been up against anything like this in years. Got any ideas, Jim?
Yes. I think there's a definite connection between this bombing and Max Judson's murder.
Well, how do you figure that?
Judson owned several dozen corner stores in this city, and this was one of them.
Protection racket, maybe?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. But I still can't figure out where the counterfeit nickel fits into all this.
We're up a blind alley on Pop Walters. The old fella seems to have vanished into thin air.
Keep your men working on it, Inspector. Meantime, Fern and I will get busy on a little field work.
Thank you.
Now, back to the Avenger and murder hits the jackpot.
Oh, gosh, Jim. Lost again.
Put another nickel in, Fern. I'll get some more change.
All right. Oh, I don't think it's possible to win on these slot machines.
How'd you do, Fern?
Jim, you're just wasting money on these things. So far, we've put in over $10 worth of nickels in various machines and only got $2 back.
Mm-hmm. That's about the average payoff, Fern. Only the suckers expect to win. Put one more nickel in it, and then we'll move on to the next drawer.
Okay. Oh, Jim, look, I won.
Not the jackpot, though.
Oh, help me gather up the nickels, Jim.
Huh? Oh, that was a 20-nickel win, Fern. Here, put them in this pocket. I'm keeping nickels we won separated from the ones we got in change from the storekeepers.
Oh, I'm tired of these games, Jim. Can't we go home now?
Not yet. We have three more stores to cover. Then we'll go back to the lab and find out how many counterfeit nickels we've collected. Come on.
Have you finished with the test, Jim?
Yes, Fern. 8 out of 10 of those nickels we collected in the slot machine stores were counterfeit.
They're seeping into circulation through those stores, then.
Right.
Jim, it doesn't seem possible that all those storekeepers could be crooked.
Well, it doesn't necessarily follow that they are, Fern.
But if they're handing out fake nickels for change, they must be.
No, there's another angle to it. Those slot machines are serviced by a fellow by the name of Griff Catlin.
How did you find that out?
One of the storekeepers admitted it. Griff's men deliver the nickels each morning, and the storekeeper pays for them in bills.
Well, now we're getting something. Old Pop Walters is probably working for Griff Catlin, who has the perfect setup for unloading the nickels.
I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
But, well, how did Max Judson fit into it?
Judson evidently forced his tenants to install the machines. He probably made a deal with Griff Catlin to share in the profits.
But why should they kill him, then?
Maybe Judson didn't know anything about the counterfeiting angle at first. Thought it was a straight business proposition. Then somebody made a slip and Judson got wise. He threatened to have the law on Griff, or maybe have the machines taken out of his stores so Griff had him murdered.
Well, the case is solved then. Shall I call the inspector?
Not yet. There's one piece missing in this puzzle.
What, Jim?
I still have to find out how Griff Catlin manages to get the lead and zinc for those phony nickels.
Well, how can we do that?
Well, he must have a business front of some kind so that he can buy those metals without incurring suspicion. We'll have to make a survey of the big factories and check the metal situation in each one of them. The Wells Manufacturing Company is on the level, Fern. Production and purchases check here at the Highland Mills. Progress Cutlery has a clean bill of health. You can check Western Plateware off the list, Fern. Everything's in order at the Garfield plant. That novelty toy factory is the place we're looking for, Fern.
Oh, good. I was beginning to give up. How can you be sure, Jim?
All their toys are made of plastic, but according to the trucking report I have on them, they receive a weekly shipment of lead and zinc.
Well, did you see anything in there that looks suspicious?
Yes. They manufacture toys, all right, but their output is very small in comparison to the size of the factory. It's just possible that the counterfeiters operate in the basement, because there's only one door leading down there from the factory, and it was bolted from the inside.
Well, there's a big double door there in the back.
Yes. That's big enough to allow a good-sized truck through.
Well, what do you think we ought to do, Jim?
It's my guess that the actual counterfeiting goes on at night when the factory's closed. We'll have to come back later this evening to verify that.
In the meantime, how about some dinner, Jim? I didn't say anything about skipping lunch, but I'm famished.
Okay, Fern. How about a nice big steak with all the trimmings?
Looks as if your hunch was right, Jim.
Yes. There are some lights in that basement, all right. The shutter of that one window isn't tightly closed.
Can you see anything, Jim?
No, it isn't open far enough.
How do you plan on getting in?
Oh, I can jimmy open that window easily enough.
What do you want me to do, Jim?
Go up to the drugstore on the corner and wait for me. If I don't join you there in an hour, call the inspector.
All right. Jim, do you think this is a job for the Avenger?
I don't know yet, Fern. I'll go in there and get the lay of the land first. Now, run along. It's time I went to work.
Come in, young fella. Who are you?
A friend of Griff's.
Oh. Do I know you, son?
No, but I've heard a lot about you, Pop.
You have? Who from?
Oh, Griff and the boys. Judson liked you, too.
Judson? Don't think I know him.
Well, he was in business with Griff.
Come closer, son, so I can get a gander at you. My eyes ain't what they used to be.
Your eyes are okay, Pop. Those nickels you're making are better than ever.
Yeah, yeah, they are, aren't they? I sure fooled them treasury guys, didn't I?
I'll say you did.
Old Pop Walters is through, they said. Too old and too feeble to do any harm. Here I am, turning out better nickels than the mint. Nope, old Pop ain't through yet. Not by a long shot.
Why, you'll be engraving bills one of these days, Pop.
Not me. Nickels is safer. People in banks examine bills close, but nobody's suspicious of nickels.
Why, that's right. You make them, Pop, and Griff will unload them, huh?
That's the ticket, son. We're branching out already. Do you know that?
Why, no, I didn't.
Sure. Look. Uh-huh. There's $5,000 worth of nickels over there, right over there, ready to be trucked out to Avon City tomorrow.
Well, at that rate, you'll be a millionaire one of these days.
Oh, not me. When you get to be my age, money don't mean anything to you. All I want is to stay out of jail and be left alone to do my work.
Oh, with you, it's art for art's sake, huh?
Eh? What's that, son?
Nothing, Pop. Say, wouldn't it be easier to stamp out all the nickels from one plate?
Oh, no. That'd give them all the same date. The banks would get wise to that in no time.
Well, what dates do you cover?
Well, my specialty is the Buffalo nickel, son. So I run most of them from 1913 to 1936.
How did you manage to get all those plates made so soon? You've only been out of the penitentiary 8 months.
Look. I'll tell you something.
Yeah?
Listen to me close now.
Mm-hmm.
I had nearly all these plates buried, son. All I had to do was dig them up and go to work.
Pretty smart. Say, Pop, got a 22 nickel on you?
No, only had a few of those.
Uh-huh. Well, what was that noise?
Well, I guess that's Griff. He generally comes in around this time.
This is a job for the Avenger.
Hello, Pop. How's everything going?
Oh, fine, Griff, fine.
Well, we're going to move you over to Avon City tomorrow, Pop.
Avon City? What for?
Things are getting hot here, that's all.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Say, them treasury men ain't on to us already, are they?
No, not yet.
That's good. Oh, I say, Griff.
Uh-huh.
This young fella's been here. He's waiting to see you.
What young fella?
Where is he? That's mighty funny. He was here a minute ago, sitting right on that stool, talking to me.
Why, you're loony, Pop. There's nobody here. It's lucky for you there isn't.
Yeah, I can't make it out.
You know I wouldn't have anybody meet me here. Nobody but you and me and some of the boys know what's going on in this place.
And the Avenger, Griff. He's in on this little secret, too.
The Avenger?
I told you somebody was in here, Griff.
You double-crossed me, Pop.
Oh, no, Griff. I didn't let him in. No, I didn't let him in, honest.
You double-crossed yourself, Griff. When you murdered Judson.
Griff, you didn't murder anybody, did you?
Where is he? I'll find that Avenger and plug him full of lead. If it's the last thing I do.
You're good at that, but this isn't the night for it.
Oh, my gun.
The Avenger knocked it out of your hand, Griff. Pick it up, Pop, and cover him. Griff Catlin is wanted for at least 3 murders.
All right. I don't hold with them that kills.
Stick up your hands, Griff. And if you make one move toward Pop, the Avenger will knock you out cold.
Don't you worry. I'll wing him if he tries to get away, Avenger.
Good. We won't have long to wait. Inspector White will be here soon. You'll be glad to take grip off your hands, Pop.
My boys will get you for this, Pop.
Bah!
And you too, Avenger.
Save your breath, Grip. When the judge gets through with you and your gang, the whole lot of you won't be worth one of Pop's fake nickels.
Catlin confessed?
No, Fern, he hasn't, but as a matter of fact, he doesn't have to. We got the whole story out of Hank and Pop.
Did Griff murder Judson, just as you suspected?
Well, he ordered Hank to do it, which is practically the same thing.
And he was behind those bombings, too, I suppose.
Yes, that was his method of keeping his customers in line.
Well, Jim, I know you tumbled to the slot machine angle because it was a possible way of unloading the fake nickels, but what led you to suspect that the nickel in Judson's hand was a counterfeit?
Fern, that nickel in Judson's hand was a 1922 nickel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it just happens that the Mint didn't make any nickels that year.
They didn't. Why not?
Well, there were plenty of nickels in circulation at that time, so the Mint took a holiday and didn't coin a single nickel.
Oh, I guess Pop Walters was older and feebler than he thought.
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, he'd only printed a few of them when he discovered his mistake. But somehow Judson got hold of one of them, and that's what put him wise to the counterfeiting racket Griff was operating through the slot machines.
Oh, my, it's almost 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I'll have to run along.
Well, say, what's in that heavy suitcase? You can hardly lift it off the floor.
Mm, it's full of nickels, Jim. All the good ones we accumulated in our field work. I'm going to unload them at the nearest bank.
All characters, names, place, and plots used in the Avenger program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
This is a thought. A thought. A thought. Remember, listen for another adventure of...
The Avenger.
Slaughter's my name. Luke Slaughter. Cattle's my business. It's a tough business. It's big business. I've got a big stake in it. And there's no man west of the Rio Grande big enough to take it from me.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone. Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, Civil War cavalryman turned Arizona cattleman. Across the territory, from Yuma to Fort Defiance, from Flagstaff to the Huachucas, and below the border through Chihuahua and Sonora, his name was respected, or feared, depending on which side of the law you were on. Man of vision, man of legend, Luke Slaughter of Tombstone.
from Texas to the Arizona Territory with 2,000 head of scrawny longhorns. But the good grass in the Valley of the San Pedro fattened him up like butter. And when I got a contract to deliver 1,000 head to the Indian Agency at San Carlos, I signed with a clear conscience. When you sell beef to the government, they want good beef. They always seem to want it yesterday. Hey, Wichita.
Yo.
Where are the steers from the southeast section?
Juan and Jose went for them. You, Frankie, don't run them critters. They gotta be delivered with legs on.
Well, they won't lose much weight on the trail to San Carlos.
Nope, a lot of grass on the route you picked. Have to hustle them to make it in 6 days, old Luke.
Yeah, we sure can't let them do any sightseeing. Closer at the next batch, Frankie.
Well, I wish we had a few more hands. 1,500 longhorns is a big passel for 6 men and a cook.
1,000 head, Wichita. That's what the contract calls for.
If we deliver 2 out of every 3 we start out with, we're doing mighty nifty.
Now, what are you talking about? If I lost 1 out of 10 on a simple 6-day trail in perfect spring weather, I wouldn't dare call myself a cattleman.
Luke, you've been operating in Texas where there ain't no mountains, no rivers, no Indians, no rustlers, and no legal acting robbers who charge you in cattle if you set foot on their grazeland. There ain't no problems in Texas. Matter of fact, there ain't nothing in Texas.
I knew I had some reason for coming to Arizona. But I'm still not losing 1 for 3 or...
Buenos dias, Señor Slaughter, Señor Witch.
The name's Wichita. And where's them critters you and Jose were supposed to cut and bring in?
They come with Jose.
Oh, why didn't you help him, Juan? We're in a hurry.
It don't take Jose long, only 50 little cattle.
I told you to cut 100, you loafing scalawag.
There were not 100 left. I think maybe Ramirez visited the southeast section last night.
Luke, I've been telling you it was Ramirez picking away at our herd. This time he's really hit us, and if you're asking me, you'd better get out of posse and go after him.
Well, there isn't time, Wichita. If we don't hit the trail today, we can't live up to the contract.
Yeah, and now we ain't got more than about 1,300 head fit for the trail. And if you aim to deliver 1,000, you better take them all.
All right, Wichita. You know Arizona better than I do. But I'll bet we come back with at least 300 steers with my brand on them.
I bet you 6 months' pay we don't.
Easy, Streak. Easy. We're going to start them soon.
6 months' pay. That's what I'll bet you.
All right, I'll give you a real bet. 6 months of your wages against Blue Streak here.
Now, Luke, if you got to lose the best horse in your string to learn yourself a lesson, I'm willing to teach you. So far, so good, Luke.
Right, Wichita. We'll make a good 20 miles again today.
Herd looks so much smaller than it did when we started yesterday. Anything happen while you was riding night watch?
Nothing much, except now I know Ramirez is in the neighborhood.
Why didn't you waken the boys and go after him?
Well, they need their sleep if they're to deliver these cactus boomers on schedule.
But you can't let that thieving Mexican keep cutting in on your herd like this.
Right now I have to, Wichita.
Well, if you was to ask me...
I didn't. Now let's keep these critters moving.
Yeah, get along there.
Got the coffee boiling there, Cookie?
Yeah, sure have, Mr. Slaughter. Fix your breakfast in 2 jerks if you're ready.
Nah, I'll wait until the sun and the men get up.
But you've been riding watch since midnight for 3 nights.
Yeah, I'm a little tired at that. You know, this is a good night horse, but he's no Blue Streak. With Streak, I can catch a few winks in the saddle and leave the watching up to him.
Oh, you shouldn't have betting him against Wichita's pay. We ain't going to get back home with no 300 head.
We'll see. Yeah, this pony's learning. We got visitors out there.
Well, wait while I grab me a Mustang and a gun, Mr. Slaughter.
I'll let you know if I need any help. Let's go, boy. You looking for something, gentlemen?
Whose outfit's this?
Belongs to Luke Slaughter from down below Tombstone.
You boys ever hear of him?
Not me.
No.
Me neither. You his trail boss?
That's right.
We watched you bed the outfit down from the mesa. I'd say you got something over 1,000 head.
Yeah, that's right. We were delivering 1,000 to San Carlos.
Government business don't pay. They're too fussy. But good luck to you anyhow.
Thanks.
Oh, by the way, you're crossing private grays. This is part of Wendell Miller's spread.
Our maps don't say so.
Map makers can't keep up with things these days. I don't blame you for taking this short trail to San Carlos. Only you understand it'll cost you 100 head.
Well, if this is Miller's land, then that's his crossing fee. Have your boys cut him out. I haven't got the time or the men to argue. Lash those logs tight, boys. If they come loose in midstream, we lose our chuck wagon.
Looks like she'll float all right, Mr. Slaughter.
Yeah, it's a good trick to get the wagon across, Luke, but...
Texas trick. We did have one little river back there.
But if we drive downstream 11, 12 miles, the critters can ford.
Yeah, and we'd lose a day.
Well, current's running too strong here. Them lazy longhorns will let themselves wash down river, and we'll lose 2 days rounding them up again.
Blue Streak will make them swim. Juan, Frankie.
Yeah, boss.
You both got your top horses?
Si, senor Slaughter.
Good. Follow Streak and me and try to do what we do. The rest of you, head the steers into the river. Keep them coming steady.
We're going to lose half of what's left.
Come on, Blue Streak. Up.
Cookie, once that stubborn Luke gets something into his head.
Hey, look at that gray horse swim at them steers.
Why, he's a-hazing them like he was on dry land.
And he's learning the other horses how to do it. Wichita, they got them brainless longhorns swimming across in a straight line.
Maybe they do know a thing or two in Texas. I still don't see how you done it, Luke. We didn't lose more than 10 head in the river.
Blue Streak knows more about cattle than most waddies.
Real thoughtful of you to rest them tonight. You can turn them over to me nice and fresh.
Wichita, you really think you're going to win that bet?
Well, I know it. If we got 1,100 head at this point, I'll eat them.
No, don't eat them. They're sold. And we'll make San Carlos by mid-afternoon tomorrow.
And I'll have me a big gorilla horse.
Maybe.
What you stopping for?
The show.
What show?
Those stars. Millions of them. Pretty, aren't they?
Yeah. And mighty helpful when you're lost at night.
Nah, I wasn't thinking about that. I was just thinking about... about nature. Yeah. For instance... That old owl and that coyote might even be talking to each other.
Yeah. And they might be talking Apache language.
You think so?
Sure do. And we're going to lose another parcel of cattle if we don't ride out there and stop them.
And get scalped in the middle of the night. We'll collect from them on the way back in daylight.
Well, my count was 1,000 head plus 19. Agree with yours, Mr. Slaughter?
Well, I had it plus 15.
Yeah, shall I add the extras to the amount of the treasury draft, or you driving them back?
I'll throw them in free. Save the government a little money. Give your Indians a little extra beef.
His Indians got a little extra beef. They snuck about 50 head right out from under our noses last night.
Oh, I doubt if they were reservation Indians. There's a renegade band somewhere south in the Aravaipa Hills. Yeah, but the cavalry from Fort Thomas will dig them out before long. I'll get the draft ready for you, Mr. Slaughter.
It's fine, sir.
Well, Luke, you done a better job than I thought you would, that. I'll let you ride Blue Streak part way home.
I'll ride him all the way, Wichita. We may be starting home without a herd, but our bet pays off on how many we're driving when we get there.
Thank you.
In a moment, Luke Slaughter of Tombstone returns. Never mind the bait. Simply join us on CBS Radio later on today when yours truly, Johnny Dollar, waits with bated breath for the return of a missing fisherman. It's another exciting insurance fraud case for Johnny to solve, and another thrilling mystery for you. Join us on most of these same stations today as the plot thickens for CBS Radio's Johnny Dollar. And now, Act Two of William N. Robeson's production of Luke Slaughter of Tombstone.
We'd made our drive to San Carlos in 6 days. The men expected to get home in 3, but I had some unfinished business to take care of. Look down in the basin there, boys. About 50 longhorns and 6 Apache herdsmen.
Uh-huh. Bound to be our critters. The 4 of us going to tackle the 6 of them?
Well, if we did, we'd have at least 20 more braves pouring down from those wickiups on the far side. Give me your guns, Wichita. Thanks. Now, Juan and I are going to circle behind the camp to draw those Apaches away from the cattle. When we do, you and Frankie hightail it in and drive them east as fast as they'll go.
Well, now, we come a fur piece to pick up 50 measly longhorns, but east? We're Tombstone southwest of here.
Sure. But like you say, we've come a fur piece. And when I get those steers back, I aim to keep them. All 4 pistols loaded, Juan?
Si.
Bueno. Just circle and keep firing. And when the Apaches come after us, well, we've got better horses. Let's go.
Luke's made a bad mistake, Frankie. We run the cattle east till they're ready to drop. And where do we wind up?
I don't know. It ain't pleasant country, though, I'll tell you that.
It's Injun country, that's what it is. Why, there could be an Apache behind every boulder. And Luke's got our 6 guns. And then
hey,
we...
Hey, there's one now!
What?
Mr. Bagby?
You ain't an Apache.
No. Captain Marcotte, attached to the cavalry at Fort Thomas. Mr. Slaughter suggested that you might enjoy the company of some of my men as far as the fort.
Enjoy it?
Your chuck wagon and Ramuda are there already. And Mr. Slaughter says he'll join you as soon as he herds those renegade Indians back to the reservation.
The next order of business was the cattle baron, Wendell Miller. Those men had charged me a crossing fee of 100 head. He wasn't the kind you call out the United States Cavalry for. I went to his spread alone under the name of Link Slater. I told him I wanted to get started in the cattle business. I flattered him until he was treating me like a long-lost nephew.
Now there's a herd I have in mind for you, Link. And even 100 head, prime longhorns.
Well, I don't know that I'm much of a judge yet, but they look fine to me.
My foreman picked them up. The drover was going through last week, a little short of cash, I guess, and got them for $10 a head. You get them for what I paid for them.
You've got a bill of sale, I suppose.
That's right, young fella. In the cattle business, we don't take anybody's word.
Oh, well, now, I didn't mean
that. Oh, that's all right. You're a promising young man. And I'd like to see you make a real go out of that little place you told me about. Try to build it up to a spread like this one.
Well, I don't know that I can ever do that.
You can if you're willing to take some advice.
I'd be grateful for it.
All right, Link. This is a tough new country. Man's got to make his own laws. He's got to keep his eyes and ears open and take what he wants. Prove you can do that, you'll be all right.
That's just what I'm going to prove. Now, how about that bill of sale?
Oh, yes, of course, my boy. Receipt for 100 head at $10 a head. Signed by a fella named Luke Slaughter, or something like that.
I see. The steers all seem to have a lazy S brand. Mr. Miller, can I tell you something about keeping your eyes and ears open?
Now, don't tell me that one of these critters here is missing a horn or that he bellows off key.
Look at the brand on my horse. And listen while I say Luke Slaughter and Link Slater.
What?
You heard me. And now suppose you show me a map of your spread. And I'll show you that these steers were taken off a trail 5 miles west of your farthest boundary.
Now look here, Slater.
It's Slaughter. And I don't like having the name forged.
My foreman brought in the cattle and the receipt.
I'm not going to court to argue about it. Like you advised me, I'm making my own laws. And I'm taking those steers for exactly what you paid for them. Nothing. Finally, there was the business that started long before the drive. The business of Ramirez.
Well, Luke, last camp before we hit the home range again.
Maybe.
How do you mean maybe, Senor Slaughter? We drive it easy tomorrow with so few cattle.
My gollies, Luke, if you could have picked up 150 more of our own brand summers, you would have won our bet.
Well, bet or no bet, everybody's worked hard and tomorrow we ought to have some fun. Who wants to go hunting?
Oh, for that... Luke, you just want to put off handing Blue Streak over to me. I ain't a-going.
Me and Jose, we were the best hunters in all Sonora. Bears, deers, pumas, eagles, Apaches. We hunt anything, Jose and me.
Good. Then you're just the men I need for tomorrow.
Gracias. What we hunt for?
Ramirez.
Ramirez?
Sure. We know he's operating around here.
I think maybe not. Ramirez has moved.
I bet he ain't moved far.
That's right. With a couple of great hunters like Juan and Jose, we shouldn't have any trouble finding him.
But Ramirez has many men. We don't have so many.
I've heard that Ramirez will accept a man-for-man challenge. All we have to do is get word to him somehow that you and Jose and I want to meet him and his two best men.
Oh, Senor Slaughter, I would like to do this, but... I just remember my mother. She was very sick when I leave. I better go see her now, pronto.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Juan. It'll have to be Jose and me against Ramirez.
Well, what about me?
You said you wouldn't go hunting.
Senor Slaughter, Jose's little brother, his wife is going to have a baby, so he better go to Hermosillo, too. You give us our pay?
Well, of course, boys. Here's yours, Jose. 30 gold for you, Juan. Frankie.
Yeah, boss?
These boys want their ponies out of the remuda.
Gracias, señor. Jose and me, we would stay if you needed us for the cattle, but...
I understand. I hope you find your families in the best of health.
Sí, muchas gracias.
Oh, Juan, if you happen to run across Ramirez... Tell him I'll be right plumb in the middle of Rio Verde Meadow at noon tomorrow. All alone. On a big gray horse.
I can't bear to watch it happen to you, Luke.
Then go on back and wait with the herd and the chuck wagon.
Maybe Ramirez didn't get your message.
Don't worry about that. He got it. Juan saw to that. Whoa. Whoa. Well, Wichita, you can either go back or wait here on the rim. I'm riding into that basin alone.
Luke, ain't you never heard how Ramirez fights?
Sure. He'll come charging down with that big shotgun blazing.
And tear you to bits before he's in your pistol range.
You know, Wichita, the United States Army is always testing new weapons. The boys at Fort Thomas wanted me to try out this rifle.
That skinny thing? Oh, how far will it shoot?
Nobody's quite sure. So I'm going to aim and let Ramirez fire first. If this rifle's no good, well, I guess you'll have to take the herd in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
ready as I'll ever be, Streak. Hope he doesn't keep us waiting too long.
Hola!
Right on the dot. He's way short. This rifle better not be. Tumbled him. Go, Streak!
Your first shot should break my hand, senor. Your next shot should break my arm. Your next shot should miss.
I guess I haven't got the hang of this rifle yet.
Your pistol is still loaded, no?
If I let you go, would you take your men across the border and stay there?
I guess so. She's pretty nice in Sonora.
All right. But if I ever hear of you setting foot on United States soil again, I'm coming after you, and you'll never go back alive.
A man does not seize a branding iron twice by the hot end, senor.
And there's one more thing, Ramirez. A matter of several hundred cattle with the Lazy S brand. I aim to have them back before you leave. .366, .367, .368. That would you make it, Wichita?
I quit counting at 300, Luke. Oh, my. No more wages coming for 6 months. And I ain't got enough cash to even buy me a pint of tonsil varnish.
Well, you wouldn't have, except that you lost that bet before your pay got doubled.
Wait, what?
Come on now. Let's get those cattle to grass. Yeah!
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, starring Sam Buffington, was written by Fran Van Hertisfeldt and directed by William N. Robeson. Editorial supervision by Tom Hanley. Supporting Mr. Buffington were Junius Matthews, Don Diamond, Peter Leeds, Barney Phillips, and Norm Alden, with music composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Next week at this time, we return with...
Slaughter's the name. Luke Slaughter. When we meet up again, you can call me that. Luke Slaughter.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
That's it for the Relic Radio Show this week. I'll be back next Tuesday with another hour. Find past episodes of this show, more from The Avenger, Luke Slaughter, all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Find it all at RelicRadio.com. Thank you, as always, to those who have donated. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week, another episode of the Relic Radio Show. The Relic Radio Show is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.